You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. Now the largest new media platform on the web. And your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Real Housewives news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills After Show on AfterBuzz TV. I am Jackie Moran, filling in for my partner in crime, the queen of all things Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Mari Fagel, who unfortunately has come down with a sickness illness tonight. So we wish her all the best. I'm sure she'll be back in gear for next week. But in her absence, we will definitely break down all of the latest drama. And here to join me to do so, I'd love to introduce my fabulous co-host tonight, Jessica King, who you will see live on Ustream in the studio at AfterBuzz TV Studios. Welcome, Jessica.
Hello, hello. Thank you, Jackie. I am excited to be here. And we're going to miss Mari tonight, but we have a lot to talk about, all things Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. So I'm excited.
And real quick,
Jackie.
Hey, hey, guys. Hey, listeners. Before you introduce your other co-host, who we're very glad to have as well, I do want to say while Mari has the flu, and unfortunately our announcer, Sir Richard Wentworth, who provides all our voiceover needs, has the flu as well. So, I want to wish both of them a fast recovery.
Well wishes to both of our AfterBuzz team members.
Absolutely. I know. I said she came down with an illness that might have made her sound much worse than
she was on her deathbed or something.
Don't worry, listeners. Mari will recover, just the flu. And luckily, we have another fabulous co-host, though we do wish Mari a quick recovery. We have a new host to the panel, Pamela Peckerman, New York-based style expert, accessory expert, fashionista, a real housewife in her own right. Pamela, we're so happy to have you joining us this week.
Most definitely a real housewife because I was making dinner in between work today and for this call. So most definitely a housewife in the middle of it all.
Happy oh, my gosh. Well, I'm so glad you can join us because I know you've circulated in some of the same circles as some Real Housewives on various franchises. So you definitely have a great perspective. And ladies, we could not have more drama to talk about tonight,
oh,
as
yes.
you said, Jessica. Oh my gosh! Well, can we first just say that you know it's a crazy episode when Brandy and Dana emerge as the voice of reason?
I know, right?
I mean,
they're the sane ones this week. What's going on?
Yeah.
Things have turned upside down. Yeah, you know, they really did. These two, you know, we talk about it every week, I feel like, that we actually love these two for their kind of crazy, you know, Brandy and her one-liners. We'll get to that. Dana is always kind of like sucking up to the housewives, but they really actually surprised me this week with their roles as far as Brandy in the Kim and Kyle drama and Dana being there for Taylor. So we'll definitely get to that. But before we get into what took over most of the episode, the sister drama, can we just say for a second, and I know Mari noticed this too, we talked before the show, that Paul and Adrian are adorable together, and that tongue action, oh
wow.
My gosh. I mean, seriously, I feel like they are campaigning, whether it's happening or not, for some sort of spinoff, because I feel like they're highlighting Adrian and Paul.
Their relationship a lot more, that, yeah.
Yeah, do you guys feel that? Am I the only one feeling that?
I definitely agree, and I think it was so cute for them. You know, they're obviously both very successful business people, and so I could see how they don't get to have a lot of time to themselves, especially with kids and managing their businesses and whatnot. And so I thought it was cute that they definitely took advantage of this trip, and Paul was so all about having alone time with Adrian. And I personally relate to them because, you know, my fiance and I aren't like the biggest PDA people, you know, but, you know, we like to show our affection when we're with each other and alone with each other. And so it bothers me when the other housewives make comments like, oh, we never, you know, even when they gave each other their little peck and they're like, that wasn't long enough, and giving them a hard time. Like, we never see you guys be affectionate and whatnot. So I kind of agree with Brandy. I bet Adrian's a little bit of a freak behind closed doors. So I think they're just so adorable, and I want to see more of them for sure.
It's interesting, Jessica, because you said you're not into PDA. When I was watching the first opening scenes where they're walking on the rocks, and she said, you know, it was really sweet, we haven't held hands, and then she paused, for years. And I wrote down, sad, not romantic. But as the episode went by, I sort of reevaluated and stepped back, because I'm a huge PDA person, and my husband, who's probably listening to this, knows this for a fact. I mean, I could be, like, kissing 24/7. That I would be happy as a clam. But that doesn't seem to be their formula for success.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to be a very happy couple. And I agree with you, Jackie, that they would be able to carry a show. I would watch their show. I think they have drama. They have some sort of hidden sex appeal. They, if they wanted to, could bring their kids into the show as well. And obviously they have the business savviness. So all around, I think that they could definitely carry a show. So who knows? You might be onto something.
I know, right? Well, I have to say that I want to call them my favorite couple, but we cannot forget Lisa and Ken, because they are just the funniest couple too. So between the two of those couples, I feel like we get so much hilarity, and I feel like they're both very successful women, maybe the most on the show, and they just have, it seems like, very strong, you know, relationships. So I think either couple, they're kind of both, you know, showing, being highlighted. Whoever gets a spinoff, whatever happens, I feel like I love both of those couples. So, you know, definitely rooting for them. Now, let's talk about another kind of couple that is in major trouble, and that's the sister duo of Kim and Kyle. Oh my gosh, I don't even know what to say about Kim. I feel like Kim is seriously in Kim land, you know, and nobody's really in the world of Kim but Kim, because she seems to understand herself. She seems to make great sense, but not to anybody else, certainly not to Kyle. So we start the drama off with, of course, Kim finally arriving, missing flights, her basically being like, oh, people miss flights. Oh, well, oops, it happens. You know, her light attitude towards it. You know, I can't blame Kyle for being annoyed that she doesn't even come and say hi. The one thing I'll say about Kyle is a little immature at times throughout this episode, and it started with her listening through the wall. Like, why is she listening through the wall? You know, I didn't really go for that with Kyle, but certainly I wouldn't blame Kyle for being upset leading into that dinner. And then we get into the dinner, and my thought is, why is Kim making up the most obvious lie, you know, when everybody knows that it was not Ken having to work. I mean, I can't blame Kyle for getting annoyed, though I do think she took it to a bit of a drama queen level, and as well, Mauricio really pounded the subject. But why would Ken state such an obvious lie and expect everybody to go on with it, you know? So where do you guys stand on this?
I have to agree with you that Kim is in Kim land, and she doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. The entire time she's sitting there, even when the boat left them and she was there with Ken, she was kind of just like mumbling under her breath. Like, and I'm like, what are you saying? What are you doing? Like, how are you holding a conversation right now? Like, are you awake? Are you asleep? Like, it didn't make any sense to me. And I, you know, I feel like this passport story and the working thing and whatnot, I agree with you. It was kind of a little petty subject, and Kyle may have blew it a little out of proportion. But I was glad to see Mauricio kind of step it up and stand up for her and bring the subject a little bit more at hand, because enough is enough. And like you said, that lie was so blatant that it didn't matter what she was lying about at that point, because she's been lying so often that it's just like, get over it already. Like, just be honest. And I didn't like the passive aggressiveness about like the toast about honesty is the best policy and that kind of thing. Like, if he wanted to talk about honesty, then he should have just been honest about what was bothering him and been straight up about it. But, I don't know. It was just such a disturbing. It's always awkward, you know, when the sisters are arguing and the rest of the girls are just sitting there staring, and then it kind of ruins the night. And I don't know. I'm kind of.
I have to say that, you know, Kim is definitely in her own land. It's sort of Kelly Ben Simone territory, but with a darker undertone, not just the jelly beans.
Yes.
You know, we're not dealing with jelly beans here and clouds in the sky. But Kim aside, because we have to deal with Kim as a sick individual. Whatever she's on something. Obviously, we all know that. Whatever the substance is, it is something. So we deal with her as a sick person. But Kyle, and I love Kyle. I'm always on Team Kyle. Love everything about her. Kyle was really, she should have kept it behind closed doors. There's just a point where you say, you know what, I have a problem with my sister. Obviously, they're on a reality show, but there are certain things you can still keep to yourself. Mm-hmm. And there are certain conversations you do not have in front of people, even in front of your husband. There are conversations I will have with my sister that are exclusive of other members of the family, other friends. And when she said at the table, I don't even hang out with you, that hurt a lot. That hurt, as somebody who has a sister, that hurt so much. So I wasn't too happy with Kyle, and I think we just have to realize that Kim is somebody who's sick, and you have to just kind of take the crazy as the crazy.
Right. Like, I almost wonder, you know, the only thing I'll say in Kim's defense, and I agree with you, Pamela, is that you should not be bringing this up at a dinner table, because at the end of the day, you're ruining that dinner for your husband. You're ruining that dinner for everybody else. And even if you're upset, you don't start crying at the table and, like, being totally, you know, drama about it. And I feel like, you know, I can't blame Kyle for feeling that way. But bottom line, don't bring it up at the table. Don't ruin it and make it uncomfortable for everybody on the trip, including your husband, who this is in his honor. So, you know, you have to kind of, my thing is, why even invite her then? Because you should know that this stuff is going to happen.
And the funny thing is they kept blaming Kim for ruining Mauricio's birthday. But Kyle was the one that was so concerned with it the entire time and kept bringing it up the entire time. And even in the hotel room,
stirring the pot.
Yeah, and even in the hotel room, when Kim got there and Kyle realized that Kim was there, and Mauricio was just trying to cheers her to, like, a great trip and drink the margarita. Like you said, mm-hmm. Kyle was so concerned. Like, all she wanted to do was listen through the wall and look over the balcony. And you know, it was just ridiculous. She was the one that like you said, stirring the pot, kept bringing it up and making it an issue, more of an issue than it needed to be.
Right. And, you know, if the dinner was only the sign of things to come, I have to say, I can't lie, I did laugh hysterically at the next, you know, sequence of events with the boat trip. Of course, who's surprised that Kim and Ken slept in, missed their alarm? I don't even know what to make of the whole alarm croc excuse.
Yeah.
But the immaturity continues.
Obviously the Four Seasons has a problem.
Yeah.
You know? They obviously have a
right.
season.
Wake up call. Something is wrong with their wake up call. How dare they?
Some PR person for the Four Seasons is livid. That's all I have to say. Somebody is watching that Sunday segment is saying, I did not just pay for that. Nope.
Well, certainly, you know, it made for a hilarious scene. I mean, totally immature, so inappropriate, but you can't help but laugh at
so
Kyle and Lisa climbing over the balcony, Lisa getting stuck.
And waiting there, like literally waiting there for Kyle to come pick her up and take when she was stuck in there. I thought that was hilarious. She's like, get me down.
I know. And, you know, obviously, you know, Kim finally, you know, comes to life and says, you know, only Kyle can come in. You know, Ken at the door, awkward.
She lost her bikini bottoms. Like, what?
Right. Like, what? I mean, I love Lisa for taking a stance and being like, enough of this BS. You know, I love Lisa here. But, you know, the only thing, you know what I take from this scene more than anything is the fact that she says she's a Virgo and she's normally punctual. Hey, I'm a Virgo. Don't make us Virgos look bad because Virgos are not like Kim. Let me tell you that much. I can vouch for that.
And Kim is never punctual.
Exactly. So that is so not Virgo behavior. Sorry, Kim. And of course, they show up and basically the boat is leaving. What are they going to do? Turn around? I don't blame them for leaving. I agree with Lisa. She needs to learn a lesson here. And, you know, Kim, she says everything happens for a reason. They had some weird wacko lunch where Kim made no sense. She seemed to actually have a fun time with herself. So who cares? She missed the boat. Whatever. I'm kind of like, who cares at this point?
Why is she even on the show? I mean, she obviously doesn't care to be there. She clearly misses, and you talked about this, Jackie, on the last episode, that she's obviously a nightmare for the producers because she doesn't show up. I mean, why is she even there? I don't think she's going to be – I think she's interesting to watch occasionally, but mostly it's just sad. Sadder than Taylor, which is a whole separate thing I know we'll get into. Sad.
They're kind of competing for most – annoying to me on the show as far as their involvement. But, you know, the one thing I'll say is that caught my eye, you know, with the lunch after Kim and Ken missed the boat is Ken starts to bring out the mafia on us. Like, you know, I'm not going to stand for anybody attacking you or putting you down. It's going to be respect or else. Like,
yeah.
His ultimatum started
or else
creeping
what?
Me out.
Seriously.
Right?
He just overall creeps me out. I mean, he creeped me out from the moment he walked off the plane or whatever and was wearing that floral shirt. I mean, my face just shrieked in a way that's going to cause me massive amounts of wrinkles. It was just, so bad. And it kept getting worse and worse with every time he opened his mouth. But that shirt, I'm going to have nightmares for the whole week because of that shirt. It's so upsetting.
Yeah, it's like, really? Are you like, you know, forming a threat against her sister? Like, how does that work? Please enlighten me. It's just crazy. And
yeah,
the whole
thing is,
like, my eye is bleeding and like someone poked me, look at my eye. I was like, ew, like, I'm so glad they didn't show it because I was just like, stop talking, please. It was gross. So disturbing.
Oh my. Yeah, I'm sorry, but I think Ken is gross, and I don't mean that, you know, only what I see on the show, Ken. I'm sorry if you're not gross in real life, but they're making you look gross on the show. And, you know, they missed, at the end of the day, that will grow. We're going to talk about Ken and his little mafiosa kind of approach there. But, you know, they missed a fun boat ride because that was hysterical. Brandy and her one-liners, Lisa, you know, kind of becoming besties with Brandy, them having the naughty sense of humor in common. Just a few quotes from Brandy. My vagina would be in the air. you know, like, blow, as soon as I blow, follow me. That's what they all say. You know, her one-liners are hilarious. I thought the whole boat scene was so funny. You know, commenting on her butt. She does have a nice butt. Maybe a little skimpy for me, but Lisa commenting on her, just the hilarious.
Dimples.
I think Lisa and Brandy made a great team.
Yeah. And I like that Lisa's admitting that she likes her, you know, and not trying to take sides with the other girls who don't like her or whatnot. Like, she's admitting that she's a fun girl. So I think that's fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Brandy, no matter who she's hanging with, you know, Camille or Lisa, I feel like she's starting to make some nice connections with the ladies finally, you know, after coming in kind of like hated by all. She's winning them over, which I like.
Sometimes I just wish they would show the reactions of some of the strangers that Brandy is giving these one-liners to. Like, when she's telling the guy that everyone tells her to just blow, or when she's on the boat asking the guy if he's single or, like, married or whatnot. I just want to see, like, how these people respond to her and react to her. We know how the housewives do, but it would just be so interesting to see how strangers take her in.
She had some point in one of the interviews where she said she thinks that Lisa likes her, or something to the effect of Lisa likes her because she reminds her of the sex kitten she used to be, which I thought was hysterical. I mean, talk about loving yourself. But, I mean, she does, I'll give it to her, she does have a great body. I think it's exposed a little bit too much for somebody with young children, but, you know. She has it, so work it, I guess.
That's right. Speaking of that, you know, a little beach fashion commentary, because I know we have some style background going on here on the panel. Who did you think had the best beach style so far on the trip? Because Lisa and Brandy had kind of similar dresses going on in different colors and, you know, the bathing suits, and Lisa always kind of showing pink, a touch of pink somewhere. Who are your favorite beach fashionista so far?
May I? Oh, please. Okay.
Yes, you may.
Oh, please. How about it?
I've been dying to speak about this. So I think that the Beverly Hills Housewives are epic all the time. Beverly Hills Housewives resort wear, biblical. I mean, everything from the bikini. First of all, Lisa, I don't know how old she is. I don't remember how old she actually is, but that woman has a gorgeous body for her age, for any age, her face.
Totally.
I think the colors that she's often wearing, not very many women of any age would be able to pull off, you know, the colorful bra straps. She looks fabulous. And the caftans, I think I'd give it to Lisa. I just think she looks fabulous. Although, oh my God, why? Grammar. Camille. In the Missoni dress when they get on the bus to go on the kayak was also a fabulous moment. Just wonderful.
Yeah, Jessica, any thoughts?
I mean, I'm not the fashion expert like Pamela, but I did notice, you know, and I know that Kyle always kind of mentions how she's still a little self-conscious about her body, but she, even on the boat, never took her cover-up off, and she was like the only girl that while all the girls were laying out, she was still wearing her little beach cover-up. And it wasn't until she got in the water, obviously she had her bathing suit on, but I never saw a shot with her in her bathing suit. And I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. And I didn't even notice that until you just brought it up. And she's someone who seems so bold and confident, so I'm curious to know the reasoning behind that. But I do have to agree with Pamela, that Lisa, when she was, they showed a quick scene of her putting on like her NARS makeup or whatnot and adjusting the pink bra and all that. That whole scene, that's when it really hit me, and that's why I brought this up, is where I really thought, wow, she is stunning. Like, the way she puts herself together, it's totally her. She knows herself. She always looks perfectly put together and carefully thought out, and so I kind of have to agree with you there that she might get the award from me as well. Although Camille, as you said, I noticed a few designer duds on her. I think she definitely has access to the best of the best and able to pay for it, so she definitely has some great pieces too.
I agree that Lisa looks amazing in everything she wears, even when they were on the bus and she had on a little kind of fedora hat. And that's something that you would never expect her to wear. And like you were saying, Pamela, for someone her age especially, you would never usually see someone in such a cute little, you know, fabulous hat. And it looked great on her. And she pulls it off, and she pulls off everything. So,
and there's something about her that's very Sophie Loren. She's very sexual in a very coquette kind of way. And although she does sort of expose, you know, she wears tight clothing, but there's something very almost age-appropriate for her, or at least in Beverly Hills. There's something very age-appropriate about it. She shows off her décolletage, but she never goes, you know, above the knee. I think that this woman is hands down, not just of the Beverly Hills franchise, but if you look at all the franchises, for me, she is the most attractive and well-dressed of any housewife in any franchise, hands down.
Oh, definitely.
Love Lisa.
I do. I'm quickly growing to love Lisa for so many reasons, right up there with Camille. I do love Camille this season. So, you know, Brandy, we can't really judge her wardrobe because, as we saw, she doesn't really wear much. but speaking of Brandy, we said she is the voice of reason in this crazy dinner to follow the boat trip. And I'm going to have to give her credit for that. Because Kyle and Kim yet again get into it. But before that, can we even just say how Ken took Crazy Town a step further when he approached Paul, Adrian, and Kim? Like, they're saying nice things, and yet he walks over like, I'm not a fan of what's going on here. I don't want to be around this, you know, like, what?
That was.
I was getting this vibe. What was that? That was like way
awful.
Over the top, shady, sketchy, as Mari Fagel says.
And I like how Adrian was just like, you know, not cool. Because, like you said, that was so over the top and so uncalled for. And someone needs to just put him in his place. Like, clearly, Kim didn't say anything. I'm sure she wasn't planning to say anything. And so he can't just go around just assuming things and acting like an idiot because he just wants to assume whatever he wants to assume without asking questions first. So that was so not the business.
That was another moment where my face kind of just shrieked and I have another wrinkle now. I mean, he just, I'm literally going to be like 50 years old at the end of the season. He just, if they keep showing it, he is just, and it's not, you know, it's really not a physical thing. Yes, I mean, he's not the most attractive, fine. But it's really, it's so much more than that. It's just, I don't know if he's on something. I hope he is, because otherwise there's no excuse. He has no etiquette. He has no fashion skills. I don't know which is worse, by the way. I cannot deal with him. That whole scene with the Maloofs was just bizarre. And I don't know if he's a control freak, although I feel like that's what they're kind of molding him into it, or pulling that sort of those type of clips for the show. I didn't like it.
Did not like it. And I, you know, I'm with you ladies that Adrian and Paul just show their level of class, I think, when they were approached with the situation, and like power, because Adrian's just so like, I feel like she's such a power chick, you know, and Paul was just like very even keel about it, like, not the way to handle it, you know, whatever, however he approached it. I feel like it just made Adrian and Paul, it reminded me how much I liked them and how much I didn't like Ken. And I don't know where he came from, but he is just creepy.
He needs to go back.
Yeah, go back there. Sorry. I'm with Kyle on that. You know, but I'm not sure that I'm on Kyle's side again at the second dinner, because here she is hammering Kim again, and I'm just not sure why she feels a need. She says she can't let it go, she can't ignore the elephant in the room, but why does she feel the need to hammer her in front of everybody? I feel like Kim was trying to escape it, get out of it, pass it over, and that's not really right on Kim's part, but I'm just saying, you know, at some point she should apologize or whatever. But at the dinner table, I'm not sure why Kyle needs to keep hammering Kim. What did you guys think of this second disaster dinner?
I think that there's a place and a time. And like we said earlier, I don't think the right time, especially when it's your sibling, I don't think the right time is at the dinner table in front of all of your friends. I get it that it's a reality show and they need this drama factor and they need to spice it up and they need the cameras to get it. But, you know, during that time when they arrived at the dinner, like when Adrian and Paul and were talking with Kim, Kyle could have pulled Kim aside and been like, I need to talk to you. This is really bothering me. I want us to have a peaceful dinner or something. And the cameras could have caught that. So I just don't think it was good timing. And I understand that it was something that clearly was really bothering Kyle and was really bothering Mauricio. But I just don't think the other girls needed to be involved. And I don't think that their dinner needed to be ruined by making it such an awkward situation for everyone.
Yeah, Jessica, I agree 100%. I think that there's a time and a place for everything. Certainly in front of everybody at a dinner for your husband, you need to do your best to enjoy the moment. Enjoy your husband, enjoy your friends, enjoy the beautiful setting. It's definitely a hard pill to swallow when you don't like a relative, let alone if it's your sister. But this is not the time. This is not the place. Do it behind closed doors and try as best as you can to just close your eyes and focus on the fact that you have this amazing husband. I mean, I think Mauricio is fabulous, and mm-hmm. it's his birthday, and indulge in that moment.
Absolutely agree. Mauricio, I have to agree. I love him. I think he's awesome. I love the guys. I actually love the guys. Ken, even, Mauricio, Paul, I love them all. Obviously, Russell, well... I always feel uncomfortable talking about him, and, you know, I rarely like to bring him up. But, you know, besides that whole drama, I love the guys. And, you know, here's where Brandy gets her credit, because I do agree. Kim did say one thing right, that Kyle doesn't know when to draw the line. I do agree with that. I don't blame Kyle, because nothing about the situation was normal, so I'm with her on that. But Brandy really said it best, I think, which she said, you know, no one thinks you're the bad guy. Wait, you have to wait for her, ask for help. She's definitely has something wrong. She's not asking. He's an enabler. Ken, of course, being like, we don't care. We're going to walk on out of here. Okay, Ken, goodbye. Brandy said it best. She'll come to a point where she hits the wall. And according to news and gossip, in the past weeks, we know she's hit that wall. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Brandy summed up the whole thing for me.
Yeah, and it sounded like when Brandy said that, it kind of maybe a little bit hit home for Kyle, like she might be starting to realize that there's a real problem or that something might really be wrong other than just her sister just being her sister. Or at least, I don't know, maybe just as I was watching it, maybe it was just me that felt like that, but it should be interesting.
Obviously she knows the problems of her sister. I feel like maybe she denies it sometimes and she thinks, oh, well, she's getting better. And then you're sort of confronted in this situation and you can't help but explode. So, you know, I agree with both of you ladies that you sort of want, you know that Kyle is frustrated, but you at the same time you're like, but wait, calm down, take it out of the situation, have this conversation, not at the table.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we're going to report on Kim again in News and Gossip. Hopefully she's going to get to a better place in reality. And who knows where she'll be next season. Another woman that I keep saying, who knows where she'll be, of course, Taylor. You know, I brought up Russell's name. That hits me like an elephant in the room. I really don't like bringing him up. I don't like discussing him. I don't like talking about Taylor. I always say she's all over the place. And, you know, we see her approach Dana and have a conversation. Again, Dana, being a great voice of reason here. Taylor, by the way, looks thinner than ever. Dana, I think, really, for the first time, seemed genuine and very down-to-earth and supportive here. Normally, I like her for more lighthearted entertainment, but she really played the friend role here, you know, telling her, she called it like it is, that she wants to be supportive, but she feels that there's the perimeter of Russell that, you know, she can't get around, and that's kind of why all of her friends, and if these are Taylor's only friends, this group, I feel bad for her because they're not really her friends, in my opinion, but, you know, she's complaining that it's not, you know, it's hard to not have them to stand up for her, and it's like, she's making them uncomfortable. You have to realize that you're putting everybody around you in an uncomfortable position, and it was interesting to even hear them all discuss the breakup at the table in Hawaii, saying they give them 2 weeks, they'll be back together, not believing it. Obviously, we know how it goes, but certainly she's not really getting much support, I feel like, at this point, because nobody knows what to believe. And that's been my MO with her the whole season.
Yeah, that was sad when they were all, you know, giving her 2 weeks or putting a time frame on how long it would be, kind of pretty much saying that she always cries wolf because of the sole fact that she wasn't there to stand up for herself. But I mean, I don't even know what to say about this whole situation. I agree with you. It's definitely a side of Dana that we haven't seen. And it's nice to see a side of her where she's actually being a genuine person and not, you know, sucking up to someone or trying to be someone's friend and whatnot. But to be honest, I think I could have done without that part of the episode last night. I'm kind of like on Taylor and Russell overload.
Yeah, I wrote down that
absolutely.
The saga is too serious. Just feel like I rewatched again the previous week when she was at the therapist or whatever he was. And I just feel like that just needs to be put to bed. I don't think, for her own sake and the sake of her family, I don't think that she should sign on. If she's offered, I don't think she should sign on for season 3. At least take a season off. Mm-hmm. If you want to come back in a year, come back. But I think she should take a season off, reevaluate her life, spend some time with her daughter, don't host New Year's Eve with Ciroc, I'm sorry, and just be with your family.
Honestly, I couldn't agree with you more, Pamela. We talk about this every week and give our opinions on whether we want her back. From your opinions, Jessica, as well, you can hear it in the viewers' voices. We don't want to watch Taylor right now. She shouldn't, for the sake of her family, like you said, Pamela, continue on the show right now. But you know what? The sad truth of the matter is, I think she would jump at the chance to continue to be on the show. Obviously, it's an income for her. And also, I think she's just fame hungry. So I have a feeling if approached, she will, although I don't agree with that decision either.
I completely agree with you. I don't think she would step down from the opportunity if it was presented to her.
Exactly. So I certainly hope that, you know, we see something positive happen as far as the show and their decisions with Taylor. But obviously we know what we're going to continue to see on this season with her. And certainly Kim is the other one that we know is just down a terrible track. So we have to definitely get into some news and gossip about Kim and more, and Taylor, of course, and some predictions for next week. But first, let's do a quick commercial.
After Buzz TV.
Hi, I was once like you, a lazy, angry loner whose only joy was watching TV and surfing the net. And like you, after I'd see one of my favorite TV shows, I'd be so excited and have so many questions that I'd actually have to talk to my douchebag coworkers about it at the water cooler. Then I discovered AfterBuzzTV.com. AfterBuzz TV produces after-show webcasts and podcasts for TV series of all kinds, like post-game wrap-up shows for all your favorite TV shows. AfterBuzz TV hosts are industry insiders who break down episodes of shows, take calls from fans, and interview cast and crew from each series, with over 60 different aftershows, from Boardwalk Empire to American Idol to Vampire Diaries to Real Housewives and more. Now, after a night of TV, I can ignore my stupid coworkers, who I hate, and go straight to my desk and watch or listen to all my favorite AfterBuzz TV aftershows and have all the TV fan interaction I need. Thank you, AfterBuzz TV.
AfterBuzz TV. What do you want to buzz about?
All right, well, let's get into some news and gossip, everyone.
Woo!
All right, I was waiting for that music, but okay, I'll just get into it. Thank you so much to Jessica for bringing up this story to my attention, that Kim Richards is officially out of rehab. Sister Kyle confirmed this to E, that she has headed home. After checking into rehab at the beginning of December, the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills star has officially checked out. Her sister Kyle confirmed it with Ryan Seacrest this morning. And he actually was quoted to say, "We're very happy to report that Kyle told me exclusively off the air Kim is actually out of rehab," said Seacrest. "She assured us, despite reports to the contrary, Kim is not drinking or partying at all and is on the road to recovery." Certainly that, you know, we hope that's the case. And, you know, we do, of course, want her to get out of crazy Kim world and into reality. So hopefully rehab did her good. But thank you, Jessica, for bringing that story up, because that is just fresh out.
Yes, wishing Kim all the best. Of course, I also know that because she just got out, they just filmed the reunion show a few days ago. So unfortunately, Kim won't be showing up in the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion show either.
Well, that's disappointing. With their contract?
Yeah,
you know, I think that is interesting. I said that she's probably a nightmare to producers, and this is yet again another example.
There you go.
But I'm sure it is in her contract, and I'm sure she doesn't really care. But that's just my opinion. Now, on to another juicy story that, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, seems to be untrue, but it was reported that Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher's divorce is spurring all kinds of news, including a lesbian affair between Demi and Brandi Glanville. I wouldn't be surprised, because Brandi is just that hilarious, but the tale is that Demi and Brandi got hot and heavy in Bruce Wilkes' Caribbean home when Ashton walked in on them, causing them to stop. Moore has remained quiet about this rumor, but loudmouth, fame whore, as they called her, although I don't agree with that, Glanville, took to her Twitter account to deny the whole lesbian affair story. While the reality TV star did admit that she'd met Moore before, she clearly stated that everything else in this story is a lie. Her tweet read, "An untrue story is circulating that I had an affair with Demi Moore. Well, I have met her briefly, and she is a beautiful woman. It's 100% untrue. Sorry, guys. I know that would be something very nice for you to picture."
Last week, there was a rumor about a lesbian rumor about Taylor. This week, about Brandy. Just give it some time. I'm sure all the housewives will have one by the end of the year.
I know, right? Do you guys believe this at all?
I don't.
Yep. What was that, Pamela?
I was going to say, I don't know what they're drinking in their Kool-Aid over there. But something's going on the West Coast. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know if I buy this one, especially because Brandy, I feel like, would be very open about admitting to it, I feel like, and she denied it. So there you go. There you have that one. But
yeah,
we didn't know about Camille Grammer. She dished to HLN's Showbiz Tonight a few things that we might not see on the reality show, including her hidden talent is that she can tie a cherry stem with her tongue. Now, that's probably going to lead to another lesbian rumor affair, but that's apparently her hidden talent. Her biggest splurge is an address for an awards show on the red carpet. I certainly hope it was on the best dress list, not the worst. Although I do love her sense of style. And when she was growing up, she actually wanted to be a dancer. She wanted to be an actress. For a little time, a fashion designer and even a dentist. And if there was any sitcom she would like to act on, she'd love to be on Modern Family. She
love
was quoted
show.
To say, "I think it's absolutely brilliant. They had writers used to write on Frasier, so I know them. Christopher Lloyd is brilliant. And everything is fantastic. And her guilty pleasure, she is channeling me with this, is two toppings, chocolate, and especially she loves dark chocolate." I am with you on that, Camille.
I feel like Camille knows everyone. She's always like, "Oh, I'm good friends with this person," or "I'm very close with that person." Every time she speaks of someone.
Absolutely. And I feel like she name drops so subtly, you know, like, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, I know them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I love her. I do. I love Camille. Camille knows I tweet at her. We interviewed her live at the Emmys. She's just, I think she's great. So she's definitely topping my list with Lisa and Brandy and Adrian. Love them. I pretty much love most of the ladies. We know the two that bother us. But let's get into those troublesome couple of ladies. And they're certainly coming up in predictions. That's for sure.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Hey, Jack, you have a request.
Yes, Phil.
I want to make a prediction. I know nothing about the show, but I'm going to make a prediction. I predict that all of our wonderful fans of this after show will tell their friends about it. Because you know what? I know word is spreading. You guys are getting into the top five, you know, of our iTunes list, which is that's quite a feat. I mean, yeah, you say top 10, oh, whatever. But hey, guys, for those of you listening, there's over 100 shows that AfterBuzz produces. So to get in the top five, that's a huge deal. So we know you're spreading the word. But spread the word more. Why not top three? Heck, number one. So I predict that you guys will do that.
Look at that prediction.
That is certainly my favorite prediction by far. And I do believe in us here on AfterBuzz TV. Come on, Roby fans. You know, knock it up a notch. Tell your friends. Tweet about us. You can tweet us. I'm Jackie Moran, Pamela Peckerman, and Jessica, what's your Twitter handle?
Gorgeous715.
Okay, and Mari Fagel and Legal Lady Tweets also, and as well as AfterBuzz TV's tweet, 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 everybody. And as far as our predictions for the show next week, Kim, a mess. Taylor showing up with a bruise. Cedric coming into the mix. Ladies, where do you stand on next week?
Drama, 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 as usual. what can I say? Is it a black eye that Taylor has? That's kind of a wow factor. That's pretty ridiculous. The scenes definitely made me, I had to press my little rewind button and watch them again. So that's always a good thing. I don't know. We'll have to see. Kim looks like she's on the floor having a breakdown of some sort. And this time it looks like Ken's the one that's frustrated with her. So that should be interesting because he's the one that's supposed to have her back all the time, right? So, what's up?
Sorry, go ahead. No, I was going to say, I am anxiously anticipating Cedric, but going back to the Kim story, can we request a Kathy Hilton appearance? I am surprised that that has not happened yet.
I'm surprised that we haven't seen any of the Hiltons, like Paris Nikki or any of them.
I mean, they have had plenty of poor reality shows. They might as well get on the bandwagon with Bravo, which always seems to do it right. I would love to see, if Kim leaves or chooses not to be on the show or they don't want her back for whatever reason, can we have Kathy? That would be fabulous.
I am with you on that. I would love that.
I agree. I feel like Kathy is too classy for Housewives.
Yeah. I know, right? Well, producers, if you're listening, we want some more Hiltons. We want you fans, if you're whoever's listening, spread the word. We want to be the top on iTunes. And, you can definitely expect, no matter who pops up and who's a mess, you can expect that there will be more drama to talk about next week. And we'll see you back next week with Mari Fagel, our favorite Real Housewives of Beverly Hills host. And until then, tweet at us, and we will meet you here next week on AfterBuzz TV.
And also, right, who did Jesse tweet out to? It was Camille, right?
Yeah.
So, hey, guys, if you're going to, as you're spreading the word, what bigger word to spread than, hey, Camille, come on in. Come in studio for the finale. I think that would be very amazing. From what I hear, she wants to do it. I've met her. I know Jackie's met her. She loves what we do. So let's really push it. And, really, really try to get her in here. So that way she has no excuse.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. Fans, tweet Camille. Tell her you want to see her on AfterBuzz TV.
Tweet them all.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.